Hey everyone, this is Mike Skinner. I want to welcome you to the Sermon Podcast for Sweetwater Christian Church. We are glad that you are interested in joining us as we follow Christ. If you'd ever like to support our ministry financially or just learn more about us, head on over to sweetwaterchristian.org. Thanks and God bless. When I was a little kid, around the ages of 8 or 9, I got hit with a double whammy that would affect me for the rest of my life. You see, my family went on a trip to San Antonio, and in San Antonio, there was an amusement park, and at that amusement park, I was able to see a show that involved a killer whale, or an orca, Shamu. And I can remember, even as a kid, seeing this huge, majestic, powerful creature performing these incredible feats and tricks, feeling perhaps one of the first times in my life a kind of transcendent moment, this connection to something deeper, more ancient, more stable, larger than just who I was. And then I also saw the movie Free Willy, and it was locked into my heart and mind, and I've loved orcas ever since. For me, there's almost something spiritual about orcas, about observing them and learning about them, about respecting them, about admiring them. When I say that, I don't want you to think that I'm tempted to worship orcas or engage in some sort of idolatry. I just simply mean to say that for all of us, there are different kind of avenues into these encounters with that which is transcendent, which for you and I is God, the Creator, Almighty, Living God. For some of us, it's nature, the ocean. For some of us, it's mountains, the horizon. For some of us, it's certain animals. For others, it's music or art. There are these different moments where we encounter, again, something which reminds us and points us towards a truth that is more ancient, more stable, that is confident and deep and large, that is beautiful and majestic. And over the years, I've collected some mementos, if you will, of my orca kind of obsession. Some have come as gifts, others I've gotten over time. I got this adult beverage called Killer Kosh. It's got an orca on it. You'll notice it's closed because I'm a pastor. I think it's Jen Bowers. Jen and Chris got me this orca alarm clock. It's a little cube. It has the batteries taken out because we could never figure out how to make it stop. And as it sat in my office at home, it would constantly go off at different times in our house and make me and the dogs go crazy. I have this little token that my wife Lindsay got me, and I'll often carry this around in my pocket for important events. It's almost like a good luck charm. Just recently, a few months ago, got a painted rock with an orca whale on it. Now, some of you in the congregation might have gotten a similar rock, perhaps not one so cool as to feature an orca on it, but one that was painted by a member of our church, Mr. Kellen Watson, a young man, elementary age, who, when the pandemic had started, seeing and hearing about all the different needs that were going on in the world, decided that he would hold a fundraiser and brainstorm with his family, and the ideas went from a lemonade stand to painting rocks. And he ended up raising hundreds of dollars and donating it to our COVID-19 relief fund here at the church. I think it's a beautiful example of the church being the church. One of the things that fascinates me about orcas is how highly emotional and social they are as creatures, how much I think they reflect what it is that we have been called to be reflecting God's image and fully alive in his glory. I was reading an article just this week about how certain changes in our world are affecting different orca communities. Orcas are well known to live and travel together in pods, and there's two main type of orcas. There are these resident orcas, which are the more well-known and famous orcas. They tend to stay in one place. Usually the local communities know them and can identify them and have names for them. And then there are these transient orcas, these nomads that travel in some smaller packs and travel much more often. And they hunt different prey, and they have different languages. They have different cultures. And over the past year, with some of the changes in the world and in our environment, we've seen some changes in orcas' behaviors. And the story detailed this one encounter that a group of whale watchers had. They pulled up and they saw these five orca whales off in the distance. And they quickly realized, led by their guide, that these were transient orcas. And this disappointed the group, which is not uncommon for lots of different reasons. They're just a little less popular. Instead of cute names, they usually are just numbered, T-123. Again, they're a little stealthier. And since they move around a little bit more, we're just not as familiar with them. But they attack and eat much larger prey. They eat marine mammals instead of fish, which are the main diet of these resident orcas. And this group was whale watching, and they saw these five orcas out there. There was a sense of disappointment. And then all of a sudden, these orcas disappeared. And transient orcas will often dive deep and stay under much longer than resident orcas. They're expert hunters, as all orcas. And during a hunt, residential orcas will stay communicating. They'll be loud and whistle and click and sing to one another. When transient orcas hunt, they often go under and go silent, which to me is a little scarier if I'm the prey. And then as the group was waiting to see what was going to happen, one orca lifted his head. It's called spy hopping. And he looked around and then went back down under. And all of a sudden, the group saw a ripple go across the water. And as they followed the ripple, they saw about 300 yards off on this rocky shoreline was this seal by itself. And what had happened were these five orcas collectively underwater jumped down, if you will, creating this pressure of water, this wave that advanced hundreds of yards towards this seal. And they swam after it. Eventually the water hits the shoreline, knocks the seal off, and the orcas are successful in their hunt for food as the birds circle in the sky for whatever scraps may be left. And this group was left in awe of the type of communication and social and hunting skills that they had witness. One of the things that orcas understand is that life is a team sport, that it's meant to be lived together, that anything worth doing, anything worth enjoying, anything worth pursuing is worth doing as a community with one another. There are no lone orcas. They travel in packs. They live in these highly complex social structures for their entire life. It's true, I think, that not only is life a team sport, but Christianity, our faith, is a team sport. It needs the participation and involvement of everyone to work properly, to be most effective, to be most beautiful. We're in a sermon series right now called Circles, Better Together. Last week, the sermon was titled Spaces Between Us, and we talked about how it's often in our relationships that God works most powerfully. We are God's temple, but the we here is the community of believers. And it's often not inside of me or inside of you that God is active through his Spirit, but in the spaces between me and you, in the relationships that we have. This week, I want to continue to explore the importance of community. I want to do so through a passage that we can find in 1 Corinthians 12. So if you have a Bible, let me invite you to open it up with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll read most of the chapter. We'll skip around a bit, but we'll start in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Go with me to verse 12. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If there were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there would be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. The church is a body in which all the parts need all of the other parts. All of the members need all of the other members to play their role in order for the body to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. Christianity is a team sport. We need everybody. When Paul explores and uses this metaphor of the body, it's a little bit more than a metaphor, because we really are, as Christians, the body of Christ, which is an amazing and breathtaking call. There's this corporate manifestation, incarnation, community that represents and acts on behalf of the risen Jesus of Nazareth. The things that Jesus did in Galilee and Samaria and Judea are still going on through the power of his Spirit in and through his people. And you and I all together belong to this body as one part. Now, the body is a metaphor that was used by lots of ancient writers to talk about social and civic and political life. And so it would not be uncommon for someone to hear someone describe perhaps the Empire of Rome as a body, perhaps with the emperor at the head and all of its members playing a part. And one of the things Paul is doing here when he explores this metaphor, when he plays with it and teases it out, is he's marking out an identity for God's people, for his church, for Christians, the new and different sort of community. We often use the word members at churches. And it's important, I think, to remember that the word member is a metaphor that originally meant limb or organ, but it's kind of become what it's called a dead metaphor. It's flattened out, and now it simply means a person who belongs to an organization. But this is a kind of bizarre concept to the New Testament, the idea that Christians might be lone rangers, lone wolves, that they are not interconnected, as is all of reality and all of being, and that God has not called them all together to operate as one in order to accomplish his purposes. What are the purposes of God? Why do we need everyone to play their role? Why is every single person in the church so valuable? Well, for two reasons. One, for the growth of our own faith, for our sanctification, our growing into Christ's likeness, our growth closer to God the Father and Christ and through the Spirit. We often incorrectly assume that we can be, you know, kind of as I grew up, a bedside Baptist, and really all that needs to happen for me to grow in my faith can be done by myself, or simply between me and God. But that's just not true. For you to grow in your faith the way that God desires you to grow in your faith, for you to become more like Christ, the way that God desires you to become more like Christ, for you to feel closer to God the Father the way that God desires you to, it involves every member of the church playing their role. faithfully participating in the calling God has given his church. You see, the church also has a mission. It's not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the world, the mission of the kingdom of God, blessed to be a blessing of people sent out to proclaim in deed and action the arrival of God's reign on earth. This, too, is something that cannot be fully accomplished effectively and faithfully and efficiently if not all parts of the body, if not every Christian is participating in the role that they've been called to participate in. Paul, he personifies feet and ears and eyes and the head and talks about how they might communicate with one another, describing ways that perhaps sometimes we make important mistakes in understanding our role and relationship to the rest of the church, both capital C church, all of Christians, and also our lower C churches, Sweetwater Christian Church, our local communities. And in so doing, he, I think, touches on the two big temptations that come to us when it comes to understanding the importance and value of everyone participating together. The first temptation is that we might overvalue ourselves. And this was part of the context of 1 Corinthians. There were some who had been given gifts that they said made them kind of a higher kind of Christian. There was this kind of hierarchy to some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Paul, in this section of 1 Corinthians, is in different ways, in a variety of methods, breaking down that argument, making clear that all should know that no one person is more important than another in the kingdom. There are, though, some who might say, I'm an eye, but I can also be an ear, and I can also be feet. I can do it all by myself. That's not how bodies work. That's not how our bodies work. That's not how the community of Christ was meant to work. The antidote for this temptation to overvalue yourself, I think, primarily is rest. I read a poem this week by Justin McRoberts called Rest. I want to read it to you. He says, rest is a confession. Not only that I'm tired because I'm limited, it is also a confession of weakness, that I am and have been hurt, that I have failed. Rest is a confession that some things have been too much for me, and that I have been overpowered and overwhelmed. And it is a confession that as a practice over time allows me to receive the care and the love, the strength of those for whom my exhaustion and limitations or weakness or hurt or fragility are not too much and not overpowering and not overwhelming. Rest is a confession of my full humanity, which allows me to be fully loved by fully human others. If I'm honest, out of the two temptations I think presented here, this is the one I'm most prone to, a kind of an inflated sense of ego, a kind of inflated sense of importance, trying to be too often the ears and the eyes and the hands and the feet, instead of resting in what God has called me to do and relying on others. For those who perhaps are drawn to this temptation, the call for you and I is to find ways to rest as a confession and a reminder and a practice of healing. Now, the second temptation on the other side is to undervalue oneself. I think it's pretty common in American churches for pastors and lay leaders to fall towards that first temptation to overvalue, and for what we call members of churches, these regular Christians, to undervalue themselves, to think that they have nothing to contribute at all, that they aren't needed, or at least have nothing important to contribute. But the truth is there's no superfluous members in the body of Christ. There's no dead weight. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's just a matter of you discerning what your role is and stepping up to the plate. Paul says even the less honorable parts of our body by God, so that there would be no division, are treated with more honor. It's often the unseen task. It's often the work of prayer and acts of kindness and service, generosity and encouragement, in which people might engage faithfully in day in and day out, and yet still wonder, am I really needed as an eye? Am I really needed as an ear? Am I really needed as feet? The antidote to this temptation is accountability. It's this understanding that God has called us all into the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in verse 26, Paul says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. This is an important point he makes, I think. One of the reasons it's so important for us all to play our role and all participate in the church is because when we don't do so, the rest of the body is negatively impacted, is negatively affected. There is no world in which your lack of prayer or lack of service or lack of love doesn't, in some profound way, hurt all of us as a local church and as a universal church. Just like with our bodies, if you have a broken finger, it's going to affect your arm, and it's going to affect your upper body, and it's going to affect your whole body. For some of us who are more tempted to undervalue ourselves, to think that we have no role or important role, we think we should just kind of consume church. The New Testament would say, no, you are the church. We are the church. And without you, we're a body without eyes. Without you, we're a body without ears. Without you, we're a body without feet. And our mission, and our growth, and our beauty, and our witness, we become handicapped and restrained. And this is something I think that we should take seriously. I know that this convicts me that when I'm not doing what God has called me to do, when I'm not pouring myself into it fully, that I am in fact hurting not just myself, but others. As one part goes, so goes the whole body. If one part suffers, all suffer with it. If one part is honored, all are honored with it. Christianity is a team sport. Our faith is a team sport. It needs everyone participating. It needs everyone working together, finding the role that they've been called to play. You know, I think it is an interesting example of how our actions affect the entire world much more than we're often aware. This article I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon was about how the residential orcas, because of a lack of salmon in their normal feeding spots, are having to act more and more like transient orcas. But that's not their culture. That's not how they were raised. And their population is suffering, while at the same time, transient orcas are kind of overtaking the sea and moving into new and different roles. One of the things I love so much about orcas and that drew me into learning about them, caring about them, was this understanding that my actions affected them. And in some ways that perhaps it's hard to even understand, our collective actions as humanity can affect them. When one thing changes, it has this ripple effect throughout their community, and their community then has this ripple effect throughout the rest of the ocean community, and that ripple effect affects us here up on land. Everything is interconnected. So it is with you and I, the body of Christ. If one of us is lagging behind, we're all called to gather around and to encourage and lift up, not to move forward without one person. If one person is too far ahead or trying to do too much, they're called to step back and rejoin the pack and find a place for them that God has marked out in advance where the gifts that the Spirit has given them will work interactively in this interdependent way to create this beloved and beautiful community that we call the church. Everyone has a role to play. And there's no option given here for us to sit on the sidelines. There's no age of accountability given here. No, Kellen, I think, was 8 at the time that he had this idea and worked with his family to do it. I believe he's 9 now. Could be wrong on that, but around that age. And I know that I personally was convicted and encouraged and glad that he's on my team, glad that he's a part of my community, glad that he's a part of our community. Because whether we know it or not, we need Kellen. Whether you know it or not, we need you. We're all members of the body, and we've all got to play our role faithfully for God to accomplish all that he wants to accomplish in and through us. So this morning, I invite you to consider this question. What role have you been called to play? Are you more tempted to overvalue yourself or undervalue yourself? Are there ways in which incorporating practices of rest or practices of accountability might help you and in turn help us and in turn help the world? Will you, with your family, with your community, through the guidance of the Spirit, discern the role God has called you to play, and then will you step up? Will you respond like Mary, the mother of Jesus, and say, "Yes, Lord, I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your word." Will you pray with me? Father, we love you. We give you thanks for incorporating us into your body, for calling us into this beautiful, transformative vision of how we might be in the world, of people who not only bless one another, who not only find God active and present in our relationships, but also are called to bring that and take that out to the larger world around us. This morning, may you encourage us with the truth that we belong to the body of Christ. May you convict us that we've all got to be playing our role. May you help us discern what that role might be. Maybe we've been sitting on the sidelines, or maybe we've been going a little bit too hard or too fast or too much on our own. Through your Spirit, will you guide us back into that sweet spot where all the members of the body work together with one another, and something beautiful and alive, something that's flourishing and thriving, is created. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.